Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler, and welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. That's right. Not too shabby. Carlos Ortiz alongside. It is great to be with you on this Thursday as we take you into your Friday throughout most of the country with regards to the West Coast, where we are on from 7 o'clock until 11 p.m., much of at least the Bay Area gripped into this Golden State Warriors Minnesota Timberwolves game, where the Golden State Warriors right now, they've cut it to 14. Bad start for them. I don't think they scored for the first 5 minutes of this game. It got up to 13-0, and that's kind of how you expected this game would go. Whether or not the Warriors can make this a series without Steph Curry, that's what we're going to find out. They probably can't, but maybe they can. Maybe they can. If you're the Timberwolves, you have to go out there and say, guys, this is going to be hard. You're not going to beat us without Steph Curry, and so you have to take it to him, and that is how they started the game this evening. But as we've seen in these playoffs, which has been hectic, and we've seen more comebacks than we've ever seen before, it should be interesting how things materialize tonight. Anthony Edwards dealing with an injury issue of his own, had to leave at one point because of a nasty fall with his ankle. So we'll see how that affects things going forward. But right now, at a timeout in the third quarter, just about 75 seconds in, the Minnesota Timberwolves have a 56-42 lead over the Golden State Warriors. We have also, as has been the case, are monitoring some hockey. The Capitals did come back, and they got a win over the Hurricanes. So that series is tied 1-1 after a 3-1 victory. And just getting underway is a game between Vegas and Edmonton. Edmonton already up in this series 1-0. So this is a fun time of the year. This is a fun month where we talk about the news of the day and then just kind of watch games and react accordingly. And that is what we are doing here tonight. The phone number to reach us, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You could do that throughout the show. You can also reach me online at Bart Winkler or Bart Winkler Show. I think the biggest news of the day, sports-wise, is actually regarding the Pope, dare I say? Is the biggest news of the day regarding the Pope? I think it is. I know that not everybody is Catholic. I grew up Catholic, which is slang for I went to church a bunch until I moved out at the age of 18. And now maybe go on Easter or Christmas sometimes, depending if we're at the in-laws or not. But it's a big deal for a lot of people, not only that there's a new pope, but he's an American. For the first time ever, the pope is from America. And there's so many sports tie-ins, and everyone's trying to claim, you know, him. He went to school at Villanova, so now you've got Knicks fans thinking that this is going to be some blessing from the afterworld because he is a fan, presumably, of that team. And I think if you go, this is the first pope also, I believe, that has a Twitter account. And so people were going through his old tweets, and there was some complimentary stuff about the Jalen Brunson, Mikhail Bridges teams of the past, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo. So there is a sports tie there. The other sports tie is he is from Chicago, and so you would presume that he is a Chicago sports fan if he's into sports, which we found out he is, and it was reported on ABC News. You know, everybody broke into their shows and their programming throughout the day to show you the white smoke and then him coming over the balcony. But it was reported that he was a Cubs fan. Go Cubs, go! So Cubs fans were going wild. Just crazy, because not only that, just like I mentioned about Villanova, Well, maybe this is a good sign for the Cubs. I saw a lot of people when it was presumed that he was a Cubs fan. I saw a lot of people saying, "Oh, this is great. This means they're going to win the World Series. Oh, this is great. This means they're going to win multiple World Series." And then I saw Carlos Ortiz, Cubs fan, tweet, "Yay, this means we'll beat the Mets this weekend." I mean, shoot a little higher, dude.
I live in the present. I don't look down the future.
I would hope a Pope that is a fan of your team is worth more than one May weekend series.
I'm sorry. This is still the Cubs.
but that's fine. But then, you know, as Cubs fans were celebrating, as Wrigley Field put it on their marquee, and put it out on the internet. If you look at the map, though, this Pope grew up in Dalton, in the Dalton neighborhood. Now, Dalton is, you know, you take Chicago and you go north, and that's referred to as the North Side, and that is where the Cubs play. So the North Siders are Cubs fans. And then if you start to go south, that's more where the White Sox play, and so they're referred to as the South Siders. Now, you have to go south a little bit, and you get past Inglewood and past Roseland, and we're down to, like, the border of Indiana here, and you get to Dalton, and you're thinking, I mean, typically people that live in that area are going to be White Sox fans. Well, as any good investigative journalism should be, a local station caught up with the Pope's brother, which is insane to see this guy be the Pope, and then you can just go to his brother's house in greater Chicagoland, and he said, "I don't know where that's coming from. We are White Sox fans." So then the Cubs fans, who have been celebrating all day, now have to reconcile with the fact that the Pope is not a Cubs fan, but in fact a White Sox fan. The Cubs fans cheered right away, and then it didn't end up being the thing they thought it was. What is this, a pop fly at Wrigley?
Nope, you get nothing from here.
I mean, that is a uniquely, like, I know anytime there's a crack off the bat, you know, people get excited, but there's no stadium that thinks there's home runs a coming on routine cans of corn pop flies than the Chicago Cubs. So I thought that was an interesting sort of parallel today. But that seems to be the biggest sports story, at least for right now. Now, the NBA, again, in action. The NHL, in action. And plenty of NFL to discuss. And that's actually where I want to start. Last night, we're humming along, and I've got a pretty good buddy in this business, Ryan Horvath. I've done radio with him in Milwaukee. He is a Cubs fan and a Packer fan, and there's a lot more of those kind of people than you would ever imagine. And we used to do a show together, like I had mentioned, but then he moved out to the Washington, D.C. area to be a part of the BetMGM network. It's one of our Odyssey stations. You can find it on the Odyssey app. I know that there's a couple of guys. Pat Boyle's got a show over there. You'll hear from him tonight, so there's some crossover. But Ryan Horvath's a good friend, a good buddy, and I would have him on every night if I could. Well, I stopped booking him as a guest because some nights he listens to the show while driving home and gets so riled up that he wants to call in. And that's how things went down last night, and it's always a pleasure to talk to him. His main point of calling was to talk about Tom Thibodeau and how Tom Thibodeau needs more respect. Like, yeah, the Celtics are sucking, but Tom Thibodeau is executing a good game plan. They've got OG Anunoby locking up Jason Tatum. There's a lot of things that Tibbs is doing in this series that he should get a lot of credit for, with the Knicks being up 2-0. But then he threw out this little curve at me where he's a guy, you know, if you're talking betting in May, you talk about these games, you talk about the NHL, you talk about the NBA, you talk about MLB, you talk about whatever else comes up. But a big thing is props and futures. Futures being what's going to happen in the future. And one of those things that he looks at quite a bit is over-unders. And he gave us last night three teams. And I don't know that he thinks all of them, but certainly of the lot, he thinks one of the teams that were bad last year, again, these were teams that didn't do much last year, but one of these teams is going to break through and win at least, I believe he said, 11 games.
One of these three teams is winning 11 games in the NFL. You pick. The Arizona Cardinals, who finally spent some draft resources and some money on the defensive side of the ball. I think Kyler finally lives up to the hype. I think Marvin Harrison has a breakout second year. I think Trey McBride's the best tight end in the league, not named Brock Bowers. And Jonathan Gannon, if they don't win this year, he's probably gone. If Kyler doesn't win this year, he might be gone. Pressure on. How about Jacksonville in the AFC South? I'm not fully sold on the Texans. I love Stroud, but yeah, dude, I love the Liam Cohen hire. I bet him coach of the year 16-1. You have Tank Bigsby and Travis Etienne, right? Look how he used his backs last year in Tampa. All three of them. Bucky was obviously the stud, but I love the way that he utilizes his backs. And again, if Trevor Lawrence doesn't ball out, is he even the starter in Jacksonville? I think Liam Cohen does what he did for Baker Mayfield. Makes him finally look like a number one overall pick. Jacksonville can't be any worse on the defensive side of the ball. And that division's weak, and they play the sixth easiest schedule. I think it could be the Jags. And then I hate to say it as a Packers fan, Bears are winning 10 games, man. It's going to be more Caleb under center, more two tight end sets. Jared Goff had a 42 QB rating before Ben Johnson got to Detroit. The last 3 years, he's thrown for over 4,000 yards. Caleb's going to ball out, and the defense will be just fine. One of those three teams is winning 11 to 12 games this year.
So you think about those teams that he had mentioned, the Arizona Cardinals, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Chicago Bears. The Jacksonville pick got an audible reaction out of me, as you heard. I suppose I could entertain the theory on each of those teams, but this is interesting where you're at this point of the season. There's a long way to go before we start to see, you know, things that we're going to determine are something. I know some of these teams are having their camps and people come, and then there's a, you know, but we're not really getting anything tangible for a while. So a lot of it is figuring out, okay, how are these guys either going to fit in as free agents, either going to fit in as draft picks, or going to take the next step to become like Trey McBride, taking the next step to really becoming something. A Caleb Williams taking the next step to really becoming something. A Brian Thomas Jr. taking the next step. We had a Bartometer not too long ago, and we'll have a Bartometer tonight, an NBA-themed Bartometer tonight at 11 o'clock Eastern, about 45 minutes from now. But we looked at who is going to go from worst to first. Now, the Bears were a last-place team last year, and they were 5-12. That division's going to be tough. I don't know that they are going to be able to win it, even if you roll the dice 100 times. Yeah, I don't know how many times the Bears are going to be able to win that division. Still think that the Packers will be good. The Vikings will be good, even with McCarthy. Or I should say, especially with McCarthy. The Lions, I've got a kind of theory that the Lions maybe have peaked, but they're still going to be a double-digit win team, or at least should be. But the Bears were a little higher on the list because a lot of these other teams that finished last place probably not, although after the drafts, maybe New England's feeling a little more excited. Even Tennessee, why can't they do what Jaden Daniels and the Commanders did? The San Francisco 49ers, I think people are going to overhype. I think they'll be closer to a 6-11 team again rather than 11-6. But the Bears were 5-12. And they had a first-year quarterback with a lot of good weapons around them. They need to improve the offensive line. And that's something that they set out to do. And they did that before the draft. They were signing free agents and making trades. And their draft was pretty heavy in the Ben Johnson gets what Ben Johnson wants. Now, they weren't able to get a running back, at least early on. They ended up getting the kid out of Rutgers. And that's phrase for, I'm not 100% sure how to say his last name, so I'd rather not get it wrong. than try. But they ended up getting the running back out of Rutgers in the seventh round. They've got DeAndre Swift there. We've seen Ben Johnson with DeAndre Swift before. And, you know, the Lions ended up moving on from him. So I don't know that Ben is totally enamored with DeAndre Swift being his number one back. There could be a play for Nick Chubb in free agency. They tried in the draft. And by tried, I mean they were hoping a running back would be there when they would select. They could have moved up. You could argue they could have tried to move up a time or two. But they did not. And every time a running back got taken and they were about two, three picks behind, you saw them trade down. So certainly that was a target of theirs in the draft. They weren't able to get it. So that's maybe a spot of this offense that is lacking a little bit. Because if you look at what Johnson had in Detroit with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, I mean, you got a pretty good wide receiver room. DJ Moore, Romo Odunze back. Luther Burden III is a pick that I think a lot of people are enamored with for player and fit. Player team equals fit. I think a lot of people like that. Another tight end in Colston Loveland, their first-round pick. Can't forget that. And as I mentioned, the improvements on the offensive line. So they could be a team. It's all about how much can Ben Johnson get development out of Caleb Williams. I mean, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be, is Caleb Williams closer to Jaden Daniels? That comparison is going to stick for a while. You know, I think for right now, the Panthers, they need Bryce Young to be C.J. Stroud. Young was taking one, Stroud two. They need Caleb Williams in Chicago to be Jaden Daniels. If you get that, then yeah, you can have Rashawn Johnson carry the ball for 300 yards. You can have DeAndre Swift have three games in a row where he totals like 17 yards total. But you need the leap out of Caleb Williams, and they hope that Ben Johnson is the guy. The other teams you mentioned, the Arizona Cardinals, they should have, of those three teams, they should be the team that is able to make the jump. They should be the team. Kyler Murray has had half seasons where he's looked like an MVP. And then Call of Duty comes out, and we all make the same joke. Although I believe that game's not coming out till next year now. I'm not big into that arena.
One comes out every year. It's just a matter of which studio produces it.
Oh, what am I thinking of? GTA.
Grand Theft Auto 6. That one's next year, and that will, yes, it will shut down the world.
Why is that taking so long to come out?
You're asking the question that millions have been asking for months.
And when did GTA 5 come out?
Years ago.
Jeez. You get into that?
I did play Grand Theft Auto 4 and 5. I saw the trailer for 6. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But for me right now, it's a unicorn. I'll believe that I actually will play it when it's actually out.
Grand Theft Auto 5 came out in 2013?
Sounds about right.
And we're still waiting for Grand Theft Auto 6?
Yeah, well, they had like little other Grand Theft Auto adjacent games, like different stories and whatnot, but like an actual numerical series. Yeah, they've been waiting for 6.
I mean, my God, if I had to wait 10 years between Fast and the Furious movies, what would I do? Disclaimer, I've actually never seen a Fast and the Furious movie.
You're missing nothing.
Are you sure that's Christopher Nolan's favorite movie series?
You're being facetious. It's not.
That's what he said. He did say that.
The only thing you need to know about the Fast and Furious movies is that there's cars, and the theme is family.
I'm here with my family.
Family. Family.
They got missiles.
Family.
We have family. They have a Tyrannosaurus Rex. We have family. They're in space. They're literally aliens. But we have family.
Yeah, and I feel that way too. I don't care what any of these other radio shows have. I don't care if they're dual cast on Roku or Tubi or Streamline or Blue Line or Limestream or Bluebee. I don't care. I don't care if they've got 13 guys that work on the show and, you know, a Thunderdome. I don't care. We got family here on the Bar Winkler Show.
I'm here with my family.
Yeah. God, I could use some help. Maybe I can ask my new best friend, you know, the Pope, to get us some help here.
Yeah. Why not?
Fellow Chicagoan, help me out.
Yeah, there you go. The Cardinals, Kyler Murray, James Conner, Marvin Harrison Jr., Trey McBride. You would think that they could have maybe one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL, really. But I think they're an afterthought because they have floated in that 8-9, 9-8 territory. And then the years that they get good, there's either an injury to their quarterback or there's a new video game that comes out. Jacksonville's interesting. They got a new head coach. They got a very young GM. They're trying to make moves, including the release of a wide receiver. They got no problem with dead cap. Want to fill you in on what they've done this week and also take more of a look at this Cowboys-Steelers trade that has weirdly become all about Aaron Rodgers more than anything else. So we'll get to that in a little bit. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll come on back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Yeah, like instead of breaking down a Pacers and Cavs game like everybody else would, I sit here and whine about how the Pacers exploit injuries and act like they beat the team at full strength. You just always got to find that different angle when you're humming along here on Sports Talk Radio. Again, I'm Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Carlos Ortiz alongside. Portion of the show brought to you by Hyundai. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on now. Get deals so right that it really does almost feel wrong. But don't wait. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. The Warriors putting up a little bit of a comeback, and then the Timberwolves sort of ended that. Minnesota up 20 at the end of the third period. We've seen those kind of leads evaporate before in these playoffs. It's actually been a crazy playoffs, as crazy as you think it is. We'll go through some of the stats and also try to figure out when exactly Steph Curry is going to return. Now, who is the NBA rooting for in this series? Who does the NBA want to win the finals? You may think, oh, Boston. They want that. We're going to ask the Bartometer tonight. The Bartometer tonight in about 32 minutes. We're going to ask the Bartometer, my artificial intelligence machine. I ask it questions. It feeds it out. So, you know, Meta's got Meta AI. Twitter's got Grok. There's ChatGPT. I've got the Bartometer. Now, I could make it a public offering and try to sell shares, but this is a highly valuable piece of equipment, and I want to keep it all for myself and for you guys, for the show. So I hang on to it, and we do it Thursday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 Pacific. And I say that, but I must remind you that the Bartometer, it is moving to Tuesdays. Yes, that's right. The Bartometer is moving to Tuesdays. So today is May 8th. Let's see, May 8th, next Tuesday is the, what's next Tuesday, the 12th, 20, 13th, next Tuesday the 13th. Okay, so September 2nd is when the Bartometer is moving to Tuesdays, just to clear out a little bit of Thursday Night Football. Now, we should know soon who's playing on Thursday Night Football. In fact, the schedule release will be out next Wednesday. But the NFL is going to do that slow drip where Good Morning America is going to show the games that are on, you know, Monday Night Football, and Amazon Prime is going to make an announcement, and Nate Burleson is going to say this, and the Today Show will have the kickoff. And so we're going to get some of that, and then we'll get the international games and then the Thanksgiving Day games. Schedule release day itself is probably my least favorite NFL day of the year because the schedule's ready in the morning and they could just put it out in the morning, but they have a show at night where they release the schedule, and so they want to protect that. The problem is when the show starts, let's say 7 o'clock Eastern, as soon as it hits 7 o'clock Eastern, every team puts out their schedule. So we're not even protecting the show. It'd be like if the Selection Sunday show for March Madness, you could just go online right away and see the bracket. You can't. The bracket's unveiled to you live. The schedule's not unveiled to you live. And then what happens is because everybody in the world has at least three sources, except for me somehow, you start to see the schedule leak, but you don't see it leak all at once. You see it leak piece by piece, and then people are trying to put it together, and then somebody thinks they have it, and then that gets shared, and then there's like one mistake that leads to four mistakes, and they're inevitably wrong, and it becomes a whole thing. So I try to stay offline that day. It's just because I'm eager to see. I want to see the schedule. I want to know when my team plays in primetime. And my team probably plays a lot in primetime. Some of you, your team only plays like one time in primetime. And I like to go to a road game, so I like to know what the road game's going to be. We're going to try to get to Denver this year to watch the Packers take on Denver. We've done 15 of these trips now, me and my buddies. And we have not gone to Denver yet, so we'd like to go to Denver, but it's got to be like not around the start of school or a holiday, so it's got to be an agreeable date. So we're all nervous all day trying to figure it out. And, you know, I get texts from everybody in the group, and it's like, guys, I'm trying to do my job. I prep the entire day. I don't have time for this. So the schedule will be released on the 13th, like by the evening when we talk. We'll look at the big games, but throughout the day, it'll be a drip, drip, drip of what is to come. Now, we were looking at some teams. My buddy Ryan Horvat, BetMGM Tonight, said that between the Cardinals, Bears, and Jacksonville, he likes one of those teams to possibly win 11 games. And I think right now, it's fun in May to look at that and say which of these teams that we don't expect to win a lot of games could be a team that does win a lot of games. Now, they didn't last year. Jacksonville won 4. The Bears won 5. The Cardinals won 8. They were 8-9. Two teams made a swap yesterday. Oh, Jacksonville, they cut Gabe Davis. And they're trying to cut him with an injury designation. Last offseason, they signed him to a 3-year, $39 million contract. He played 10 games. He caught 20 passes for 239 yards. So that was a big mistake. And now they're trying to get out of having to pay him, or at least it being held against the cap with an injury designation. But the other big receiver news yesterday was George Pickens was traded from the Steelers to the Cowboys. And those teams, I think, are just as interesting as the other teams that we were talking about earlier, because last year the Cowboys won 7 games, but they had Dak Prescott hurt most of the year. And last year the Pittsburgh Steelers won 10 games, and we did not think that they would do that, but that's what's been happening with Pittsburgh. Every year you think, okay, this is the year that they won't at least be a 500 team, and they still are. And right now they've got no quarterback, with all due respect to Mason Rudolph. They've got Will Howard, who they drafted. Maybe that could be something. It seems like their best course of action is just having like a, not tank. I mean, Mike Tomlin's not going to tank. And a lot of those guys, especially on that defense, they're not going to tank. But now they've started to make some trades. Getting rid of George Pickens, I don't know if I'm reading too much into that, because on one hand it could be, oh, you're trading your wide receiver who you've had problems with. Just get him out of here. We'd rather go with Calvin Austin and Ben Skowronek. We'll figure it out. We got DK Metcalf, too. But it was going to be that DK Metcalf pairing with George Pickens, bringing Aaron Rodgers, and you might have yourself a Super Bowl team. That's what people in Pittsburgh would hope. So does this trade signal anything? You know, this is a rare trade where the other team is more intriguing to talk about than the Cowboys, and the Cowboys made it. Usually if the Cowboys make a trade, it's from the Cowboys angle. Well, we got to talk about it from the Cowboys angle. And it's an interesting angle there, too, because this is really only a one-year deal. They're not going to extend him. He's on his rookie contract. They're going to try to see if it works. I think the Cowboys are a team that could win 11 games, but they got to play at their best, and Dak's got to stay healthy, and Brian Schottenheimer has to prove his worth as a coach. I would think the Cowboys could be a playoff team. I don't see how they are a Super Bowl team, so what are you making this move for? You're giving a first-year coach, a guy who is a problem in another locker room, a team who, when they trade or move on from receivers, typically they never reach the peak that they were, like ever. So that's an interesting setup that Jerry Jones is putting his coach into, unless they're trying to quietly tank in some sort of way. I said last night that the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers are like that couple in college. Not even a couple, but like friends in a friend group. You know, one's a guy, maybe another's a girl, and they're like, hey, if we don't get married and by the time we're 40, like, we hang out enough, we know each other. There's not really any, like, sexual tension between them. They kind of seem like yeah, he's my brother, he's my bestie, you know. The guy thinks about her every night, but it's because that's what guys do. But the girl is like, oh, no, you're my backup to my backup to my backup. You're not my Russell Wilson or my Jackson Dart or my Jameis Winston. You're my Tommy DeVito. You can start when everybody else has either been imprisoned or is dead. Then we can hook up. Because that's what Rodgers and the Steelers seem like. They're waiting until they're 40 to finally settle for each other. But with a trade like this, you know, the Steelers are already acquiring picks for next year. If Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh, it's going to be a one-year thing. And they're not going to win the Super Bowl. There's no scenario where the Pittsburgh Steelers win the Super Bowl in 2025. So then what would the benefit of signing Rodgers be? Winning 8 games instead of 5? Getting that 500 record? Going to the playoffs and losing with a different quarterback? I don't know. Say what you want about whatever you think Aaron Rodgers is at this point in his career. I just don't think he's that good. I think he'll give you good moments, but I think the age is certainly showing at this point. Going to take a lot of sacks. Going to be frustrated with some of these receivers. So I don't know what the point is. I just think with this trade, is Pittsburgh just getting rid of a guy? Or are they saying, hey, we're kind of moving on to the future, is what we're doing. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4ISN. All right, Bulletin Blitz coming up, and then the Bartometer. Which team winning a championship would be best for the NBA? And it's not like, what team does Adam Silver want? Because I don't know that he knows. The Bartometer will tell you which team winning a championship this year would be the best for the NBA. It's interesting to find out who the best case scenario for the NBA is, and also probably the worst. So we'll do that in about 20. Right now, let's get an update. Here is Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Thrown behind, but somehow caught, and now lateral to Allen, and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown! Unbelievable!
The biggest voices in sports.
I have to look in the mirror, and I'm right. I have to be a better owner.
The heartbreak.
This team has nothing to be ashamed of. As you mentioned, yeah, they're disappointed, but they have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of.
The celebrations.
It's over. The Philadelphia Eagles have won Super Bowl 59. They have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22. It's their second Super Bowl win in 7 years.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right, disembodied voice. It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. It is Thursday, May 8th, 2025. Let's go to the series that's currently the only game in town right now. It's the Minnesota Timberwolves taking on Gold State Warriors. Warriors are up 1-0. But it'll probably be 1-1 shortly. 99-82 Timberwolves favor. Let's go to Steph Curry. He spoke earlier today, and you can tell that the Warriors obviously miss Curry. I mean, who else is going to give that production unless Buddy Hield goes ape crap? They need somebody to shoot. I know what I said. So here's Steph Curry. He's obviously out for at least a week, and then he'll be reevaluated. He says there is no target return date in mind.
This is new, and from all that I'm learning about how quickly you can get back, there has to be a healing process. That you is just the way the body works. You can't accelerate it more than what it's telling you. So it'll be one of those. After a week, really reevaluating every day to kind of understand when it's safe just to even think about playing, let alone how much can you push it.
Curry's never missed a game with an injury to his hamstring, but at some point in his life, he has to have had an issue with his hamstring. He can't have played basketball for 30 years and have never had a hamstring issue, but sounds like that is what he is experiencing. So, yeah, that's frustrating. There's really nothing you can do. You just got to kind of wait. And as he's waiting, the Warriors are going to drop some games here. They will reevaluate him next week, as discussed. But by then, it's the day of game five. I mean, they could lose the series that night. So I think what tonight was trying to figure out, all right, what lineups are going to work and what lineups aren't. They started Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, Quinton Post, Buddy Hield, and Brandon Podemski. Quinton Post played 3 minutes and then did not play anymore. Kuminga's got 25 minutes off the bench so far with 18 points. Trayce Jackson-Davis, who has been missing, he's getting some run again, so they're really sort of trying everything, and I think we'll have a more maybe focused vision come game three this Saturday night.
And game three for the Knicks and Celtics will be Saturday afternoon, 3:30 Eastern start. Kind of weird, but I want to play these two clips back to back because it's just a clear contrast between the two mindsets. Knicks head coach Tom Thibodeau says you can't be comfortable up 2-0. Meanwhile, Al Horford, he says he's excited to be down 2-0.
It's a series, but you have to focus on the game that you're playing. What is it going to take to win that game? So we know each game, right, there's going to be more force and more aggression in it, and we have to be ready for that. And so all we have to do is make sure that we're focusing on what it's going to take to win game three.
You don't want to be in these situations, But I'm excited about it. I'm excited for this opportunity that we have in front of us. We know it's difficult. Going into a hostile place on Saturday, but I'm excited for what's ahead for our group.
A little bit of the Robin Scherbatsky Bud Ums there, if you've seen that show, which was great. How I Met Your Mother until the ending. Well, after the ending, I would never watch that one again. I'm excited for this series. I'm excited to see if the Celtics play like the Celtics. It wasn't just that they shot a bunch of threes. That play they ran at the end of the game was ridiculous. It made no sense. You're Jason Tatum. You're Jaylen Brown. You're the Celtics. Run a real play, not just try to go coast-to-coast dunk again. So I don't know what's going on there. They do not look like they won the title last year. They don't even look like they know each other. So we'll see that on Saturday.
All right, let's get one last one in here. In the other series, the Thunder came out storming, pun intended, 149-106, beating Denver to tie the series up in the Western semis on that side. SGA says they came out desperate.
We knew what was at stake tonight. We came out desperate. We wanted to just take care and control the things that we knew we could, and we did a pretty good job of that. specifically to start the game, and that that start carried us through the rest of the night.
So every road team won game one, which typically when that happens, the home team will then win game two, and they'll win it by a large margin. You saw the Thunder do that. You're seeing the Timberwolves probably going to do that. But again, there was an injury to Steph Curry. How would that series go? You didn't see the Cavs do that because they're dealing with their injuries. But the Celtics, I mean, I know Porzingis is mysteriously hurt, but they don't have an excuse. They were up 20 points again. Again. And they still found a way to blow it. Really doesn't make any sense. Just one game tonight. Kind of a bummer. We'll have two tomorrow between the Pacers, Cavs, and then Thunder and the Nuggets. The Bartometer will tell us which team the NBA would prefer to see hoist the Larry O'Brien. That is coming up next.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.